Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Brother Eric John Phelps here at 24/7 World Radio. Welcome you to the broadcast today with on this March 25th, 2024. And it's a pleasure to be with you on Monday here. So, I want to update you on a couple of things I've been doing here, and then I'll devote another broadcast on the message that I think is relevant to what I've been experiencing, as well as for others and what they're experiencing too. So, welcome to the broadcast today on March 25th, 2024, which is Monday. This last weekend, I went to a conference titled Eyes Wide Open. I attended and I wanted to see two people. So I attended with a buddy of mine who just happened to pay the cost, defray the expenses. So we went together to this, and it was hosted in a casino in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. That's a beautiful place. In fact, they have a chopper on display there, which makes my heart flutter a little bit, since I was an addict of choppers many years ago. And it was built by Orange County Choppers, and it's a beautiful motorcycle, and it fits the Indian setting of the casino because it's an Indian casino. I do not use the term Native Americans. It's like Russell Means, the head of the Lakota Sioux, did not use the term Native Americans. He said, I'm an American Indian. So as far as I'm concerned, they're still Indians, and it's just another communist Jesuit design to destroy any distinctive nationality, history of peoples, and specifically in this instance the American Indian nations, and specifically the particular tribe that has this casino, which, by the way, the government, the military government of the United States, controlled by the Jesuits since March 9, 1933, when they imposed it with Franklin Dandable Roosevelt, the military government has deliberately weakened the Indian peoples. Deliberately weakened them by giving them money and by enabling them to have casinos on their Indian reservations to bring in all these demoralized and immoral white people to gamble there, to engage in gaming. And if you read Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, he will tell you that one of the things that led to that was gaming. Games of risk, which of course are run by the mafia, the Roman Catholic mafia controlled by the Jesuit order, and the top Indian chiefs are all submitted to that through Freemasonry, because they're all members of secret societies ultimately ruled by the Black Pope, and to the detriment of the Indian people. So it was a beautiful motorcycle. In fact, I took a picture of it. From Orange County Choppers. They're tremendous artists of motorcycles. And of course, they're white, because the white people are the greatest artists and engineers in the world. That's why the Muslim Arabs have us white people build their cities for them, build Abu Dhabi, build Dubai. It's all historic white Protestant engineering out of Europe and America that does that. They can't do it. So, it was an intriguing day that I spent there. Now, there was about, I would say, 400 people. Maybe 400 people, I'd say, about that. And most of them, I would say, were older people, over 50, 40 or 50. And there were many feminists there. And I would imagine there were many occultists there, because it has to do with the New Age philosophy that you have it in yourself to make changes to the world, okay? That nonsense. And the message that I will have after this is going to be for those people, and especially Kathy O'Brien, who I utterly respect as a heroine of the 20th century and the 21st century, which I'll further describe to you. But, and there were some Christian people there, the gentleman that I was with introduced me to a few of the ladies that he knew were saved and had been dealt with, had dealt with them for years. So the presentation was put on by a woman. And so there were many women involved in leadership positions, and I would venture to say that many of them were feminists, okay? Given over to the Jesuit ideology that women are equal with men in all things. That whatever a man can do, a woman can do. Which is intended to overthrow the authority of the man. And not to really exalt the woman, because they couldn't care less for these white women. By the way, there was only, I counted three blacks, one, two, three, maybe four blacks there, of the 400 to 500 people that were in attendance. In fact, one of those blacks was a nice black lady. You could tell she was an American black. And I had my special leather pants on that I had made for me because I like leather and I like the pants, and they were a little different looking. And she came up to me and she said, "I like your outfit." I said, "Well, thank you, ma'am. It was very kind of you." So, the blacks that were there, there were several Americans and there were several foreign blacks. And so, everything went well. There was security there. Kathy O'Brien, who was one of the speakers, who I went to see specifically, had a white guy that was there as her security bodyguard. And everywhere she went, that's where he went. And rightfully so, because she has dealt a tremendous blow to the Jesuit orders, DARPA, and their MK Ultra system, and the child kidnapping and pedophilia. All of this ultimately overseen by the Society of Jesus, the Jesuit order, using their American emergency war powers military government and its some 16 intelligence communities united together under certain Knights of Malta, run by the papacy. Aided and abetted by certain Jews, Masonic Jews, who were also Knights of Malta, like Kissinger was a Knight of Malta. And their loyalty is to the Pope, and these are the papal court Jews. Remember, according to Jesus Christ, the Jews run nothing during their diaspora. And we read of this in the book of Luke, chapter 20. Trying to get my pointer where I need to get it to hit pause. There we go. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in Luke chapter 21. He's speaking of the great diaspora that would happen to the Jews, to the Hebrew Jewish Israelites. Remember, they're called Hebrews first, and then they're called Israelites, and then they're called Jews in that order throughout the Old Testament. According to Ezekiel, Hebrews are Jews. But we know in other passages there are Jewish proselytes. That means they're Gentiles, they're of the nations, whether they be black, white, Asian, what have you, who adopted the Judaistic religion. And the Judaistic religion of today, as embodied in the Babylonian Talmud, is evil. It is Babylonian. Calls Jesus Christ a bastard and his mother a whore. That Jesus Christ is presently boiling in hot feces. That's all in the Talmud. And I had a late Jewish friend of mine confirm that to me because he had read it in Hebrew. His name was Joel Bainerman. And so the religion of Judaism as we know it today is satanic. It was even satanic in Christ's day. That's why he talked about synagogues of Satan. When he talks about the synagogue of Satan in Romans 2 and Romans, or Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, they're not of the race. He's talking of their religion. They say they are Jews. They say they're spiritual Jews, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan, but they're still physical Jews, and I've covered this many times. And you can read about it in John chapter 8 when John talks to those Jewish leaders, and he says, "I know you're of the seed of Abraham. I know you're the physical descendants of Abraham, yet your spiritual father is the devil, and the lust of your spiritual father you'll do." So that's what he meant in Revelation chapter 2. But they say they're Jews. They say they're spiritual Jews, but they really are not. They're racial Jews, but they're not spiritual Jews. He goes on to say, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. They're spiritually the servants of Satan. Satan is their father, and the lusts of their father they do. Just as Gentiles, just as Satan is the father, the spiritual father of all Gentiles. And the Roman Catholic Church is the church of Satan. And in fact, most Protestant churches are the church of Satan anymore because they're filled with Freemasons busy serving Satan, who they call Lucifer erroneously because there is no Lucifer. Lucifer ceased to be Lucifer the moment he was cast down. And when he was cast down, he became Satan, a disembodied cherub, a spirit, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2. So, back to Luke 21, proving that the Jews as a people run nothing. And I had to deal with this in Michael McGibbon's presentation. He was the first one that has a presentation on Saturday, where he attributes all the evil empire and everything that's going on generally to the Jews, who are really not Jews, but really physical descendants of Solomon who had offspring from his pagan wives. Yet at the same time, we know that the seed of Abraham passes through the man. It does not pass through the woman. Remembering what happened to the Benjaminites, there was only 400 men left, and then the others of the tribes brought women to them, and they raised up seed from other tribal women, but the offspring were of Benjamin. The seed of the tribe passes through the man, not the woman. So, back to Luke chapter 21. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ telling us that Jews do not run anything during their diaspora. He speaks here now in verses 20 through 24. And when you see, we shall see, he's talking to his disciples, when you shall see, and they're not members of the church yet, he's talking to them as Jewish disciples, Hebrew, Jewish, Israelite disciples, anticipating the rejection of the Davidic kingdom, which Christ has already said, this kingdom is going to be taken from this generation, I'll give it to another, bringing forth the fruits of repentance. That's futurism, that's restoration of the Davidic kingdom according to Jesus Christ. Biblical futurism. He says in verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, surrounded with armies, then know that that desolation thereof is nigh. That would be 38 years in the future. Well, 36 years. Because the Roman army began to surround Jerusalem in about 66, 67. And they laid siege to that place for about 3 years. So Christ told them, Jerusalem is going to be compassed, surrounded with armies. Then know that the desolation is nigh. In AD 70, the Romans, legions of the Caesar, destroyed Jerusalem. And the Caesar at the time that did that was, I believe it was Emperor Nero. Because Nero is... dies, Vespasian, who was leading the armies, goes to Rome, becomes emperor, and his son Titus takes over the besieging of Jerusalem. And under Titus, Jerusalem falls, and Vespasian, his father, became the Caesar. So that's AD 70. So when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. So he warns his followers, who will later be saved and in Christ, whom the world will call Christians, because we never called ourselves Christians. The world calls them Christians, these saved Jews. He warns them, get out of Jerusalem. It's besieged. Get out. Run for your lives. For these be the days of vengeance, that all the things which are written may be fulfilled. And he's speaking of what was written in Deuteronomy 28. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Why? Because they knew not the time of their visitation by their Messiah, and they killed him, according to Acts chapter 2, along with the Gentile nations, Pilate and Caesar and all of them. But the Jewish leaders killed their Messiah, and the people went along with it. Remember, whatever the leaders do, you are responsible for as his subject, as his citizen. That's why I always teach you got to go back to pre-March 9th, 1933 private citizenship. So this military government is not your sovereign anymore. You are a member of the sovereign, we the people, as a whole. And whatever this government does, it doesn't do in our names anymore. It's not doing in our name of the pre-March 9th, 1933 private citizen. That's another reason why you got to get your status changed to get out from under the judgment and the wrath of God, where he's going to judge this people for going along with this papal emergency war powers military government. What the leaders do, the people reap for their misdeeds. So he goes on and says, verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. This is the international diaspora spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy 28. You're going to be captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles of the nations, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're in the times of the Gentiles. Gentiles rule Jerusalem. If it was not the Arabs under Islam, it became the Orthodox. The Orthodox Russian churches in Jerusalem today, when the Orthodox ruled Jerusalem, or at least ruled those churches, but the Muslims ruled Jerusalem for somewhat 600 years, from 700 to 18 or 1917. So that's what 714. More like what? 1400 years. They ruled it for what? 700, about 1,000 years. Islam takes over Jerusalem in 740 thereabouts. Omar builds the Dome of the Rock on the ancient temple site. And from about 740 to 1917, when the Turkish army is driven out of Jerusalem by the British, and they drop leaflets there and they fled according to the order, secret order, of their Masonic Caliph of Islam in Turkey, overseeing the Ottoman Empire. And so this was necessary in the breakup of the Ottoman Empire so that the Pope could build his revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem, which we all know is Israel, and the Jews have their Abrahamic covenant right to live in their land, according, even Gaza. The Muslims have no right to live in Gaza. The Arabs have no right to live in Gaza. Gaza belongs to Judah. So what's the big deal in Gaza? Look, all those people should never have been allowed to move there anyway. When Benjamin, what was it, Ariel Sharon in 2005 allowed them to, gave that land to them. What a sin and a crime. And he did that for this purpose. This is how you know the leaders of the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists are Masonic, and they serve the papacy for the papacy's purpose. They have to have continual, ceaseless agitation until the final Pope of Rome comes along and with his covenant of Daniel 9:24 creates a peace for 3.5 years. So until that time, until the beginning of Daniel 9:24, when the 70th week begins with this covenant, it's going to be agitation, agitation, and the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists and the Likud and anybody else there that are Masonic serving the Pope, they're going to make sure that agitation continues. And the Jews don't run anything. They don't run Jerusalem. They don't run New York. They don't run anything. The Jews involved are subject to the Pope. Henry Kissinger serves the Pope. George Soros serves the Pope. The guy that runs what Google, Zuckerberg, runs the serves the Pope. He serves the Papa. They don't run anything. And yet this new right and others that are part of this bogus patriot movement want you to think the Jews run everything. I'll debate anybody about it. They run nothing. And the reason why the Jesuits put them up front all the time to make it look like they run everything is they want to kill every Jew in North America, incite the non-Bible reading, ungodly white men of this country to unite and to throw out the Jews. And there's the vast majority of white men in this country are ungodly, they're wicked, and they don't read the Bible, and definitely not saved. Jerusalem is trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In the meantime, Gentiles rule Jerusalem. Who rules Jerusalem today? Why? Washington, or I should say District of Columbia, emergency war powers, military government of the District of Columbia, overseen by its commander-in-chief, subject to the Pope of Rome. That's who rules Jerusalem today. Why do you think this military government gives what? How many billions in aid to Israel every year? I tell you what, if there were patriots running Israel for the benefit of the Jews living therein, this military government in Washington wouldn't give them a penny. And remember this, that this military government in Washington gives three times the amount of what they give to Israel to the Arab countries surrounding them, including Egypt and Lebanon and Syria and Jordan. You see, with their Pope's Federal Reserve Bank to create credit off the backs, off the property of the American people, every person, every place, everything seized by the Commander-in-Chief on March 9th, 1933. So as that collateral, they can create all this credit. The credit is not bogus. There's collateral behind it. And if you're a U.S. citizen, if you're united with this legal fiction, all caps name, you and everything about you is used as collateral for the debt the Federal Reserve creates to finance its international New World Order, subject to the Jesuit general overseeing the Pope to be Satan's Antichrist, with the final Pope of Rome coming to power, slain with a sword and risen from the dead to be the beast man of Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Revelation 19, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to cast in the lake of fire at his physical, visible second coming after the 70th week of Daniel. So, the Jews run nothing. It's the times of the Gentiles. Anybody who tells you the Jews run everything is a liar and refuses to finger the Jesuits and the papacy. Refuses to go into their dark, dastardly history. Refuses to talk about the Holy Office of the Inquisition that raged for over 600 years in Europe and in the Far East and in Goa and in India. You get H.C. Lea's work, The History of the Inquisition. Henry C. Lea, an American. It's a three-volume set, I believe, The History of the Inquisition. You get it, you read it, and you weep. Because that's the truth about that horrible, terrible, popish Inquisition. And when they can't do it under the name of Inquisition, they do it under the name of communism or fascism or Bolshevism. But it's still the Inquisition and a crusade to submit all nations to the temporal power of the Pope. Well, at this particular conference, at this Eyes Wide Open conference in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, that I was there on Saturday, 2 days ago, on the 23rd. The first one I heard was Michael McGibbon. Michael McGibbon is a very interesting man in that his high computer technology was stolen by Zuckerberg and Facebook. And everything we essentially use is the stolen property of Michael McGibbon. Well, I've decided that I'm going to change to his setup here. And you can get in contact with him. It's called MySquiff, MySQIF.com. It's a polymorphic encryption services, gives you a legal license to social networking. And you can call for questions at McGibbon, MMCKIBBEN, at Leader, LEADER.com. Phone number 614-890-1986. So, I recommend that you use his encryptioning program. I'm going to do it. But it's this same Michael McGibbon who's blaming the Jews for everything. Telling you that the Jews ran the Far Eastern silk trade when the papacy was running it. Tell me, why do you think they sent Marco Polo east? The papacy sent Marco Polo there. Nothing of significance ever happens politically or economically without Rome playing a part or really ruling it. And if it doesn't rule it, it takes it over. Because the Pope has the right to rule the world. They have the right to rule all commerce, have the right to rule all politics, have the right to rule all leaders. That's called this temporal power. The doctrine of the temporal power. And it's the silver key illustrated on the papal flag. The gold key is the spiritual power, which is first. Overlays the silver key, which is temporal power, which is secondary. So, Michael McGibbon is wrong about teaching the Jews run everything. If there are powerful, significant Jews involved, why, of course, but they're subject to the papacy. Jesus Christ said they don't run Jerusalem. Whoever runs Jerusalem runs the world. When the British took Jerusalem from the Turks in 1917, the British ran the world. They had their international British Empire from sea to shining sea. It was a historic, white, Protestant British Empire taking the King James Bible to the ends of the earth. Then the Jesuits took it over with King George III and gradually began to do terrible things like the opium trade with the Chinese and other things and making war on the white Protestant colonists here that the Lord brought over here to save us from the Anglican Church that had been taken over by the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic institution. One particular American patriot, a Protestant Calvinist, said the beginning of the end of the British Empire was when it began to make war on the historic white Protestant American colonies here. So, I would get Michael McGibbon's encryption services, but don't believe his conclusions that the Jews run everything, and I think I might devote a broadcast to rebutting what he taught there with historical evidence and proof. Because we are entering an era in America of blaming the Jews. And that has to be stopped, it has to be curtailed, it has to be proven to be a lie. Otherwise, we're going to get the Abrahamic curse on us, which is Genesis 12:3 and a few other places in the Old Testament scriptures, where if we curse these racial people, the Lord will bring a curse to our country, and everything will begin to shut down, and we'll all go into penury and poverty and disease and war and starvation. I'll bless those that bless thee, I'll curse those that curse thee. And in thee, Abraham, and thy seed, which is Christ, shall all nations be blessed. That's right. Salvation has come to us Gentiles of every race, every language, every kindred, every tongue, through this seed, this singular seed of Genesis 22, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Gospel of Matthew starts out. He is the generations of Jesus Christ, so-and-so, so-and-so, seed of Abraham. So we read now, the Jews don't run anything. Now, after Michael McGibbon was introduced by a gentleman I had met several years ago, whose name is Douglas Gabriel. Douglas Gabriel had me on his radio broadcast that he hosts with his wife. Douglas Gabriel is a very brilliant man. He's a doctor. He has several degrees. I believe he went to MIT. He went to a high Jesuit university. I forget the name of it. And he was also a Jesuit priest. Douglas Gabriel, as he told me, was a Jesuit. But it's interesting in the introduction of himself that the individual who introduced him to speak, to introduce Michael McGibbon, didn't say he was of the Jesuit order, or that he had ever been a Jesuit priest. Why? It's a fact. Why can't I know that fact? Why can't everybody in the audience know that fact? It's important. And then when he spoke to introduce McGibbon, he said, yes, I'm Douglas Gabriel, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and yes, I was a Jesuit priest for many years, but I left the order. Or so he tells us. But he never said he was a Jesuit. The introductory never said he was. The introducer never said he was. And he never said he had been a Jesuit in his speaking. Why? Because you have to hide the Jesuit connection. This is part of the shibboleth of the Patriot movement. They do not want to deal with the Jesuit connection and specifically take off and go after them and call for their expulsion from the United States. It's the same thing Stu Peters does. He'll talk about the Jesuits. He'll get that black eye on there, the Seventh-day Adventist. He'll talk about the Jesuits. But then he's going to go back and talk about the globalists, just like Alex Jones. Jones will talk about the Jesuits. I believe he had Chris Pinto on there, which Chris has done a lot of good work. I know him. But Noah's continued focus on the Jesuit order, the power that rules this country, and hence the power that rules Russia, which is still the USSR, the power that rules Red China, because those governments were put in power by District of Columbia and London, working together. The Anglo-American international white power structure controlled by the Pope of Rome, overseen by the Jesuit general, who is today Arturo Sosa. It's very simple. And all the details fit the model. The meat goes to the bones easily. So, Douglas Gabriel, when I went up to talk with him, I introduced myself. I had never physically met him before. And he says, "Oh, Eric Phelps, how are you?" "Been fine." I said, we had some small talk. And I said, "Well, you know, Douglas, that the Jesuits run everything." He said, "Oh, this is Chris Strunk. Chris Strunk again." Well, I used to work with Chris Strunk. Chris Strunk was not a saved man, but he resisted the Jesuits. Unfortunately, he became a religious Jew, which was a mistake. And not long after that, as he was opposing certain others, he winds up dead. And he was no suicide. I can't get any information on how Chris Strunk died. Can't even get in contact with his son, Dimitri. So the Jesuits are serious. You want to resist them, you better be saved. You better be walking in the power of the Spirit of God. You better have sin confessed. You better be donning the armor of God of Ephesians chapter 6. You better be using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because this is warfare, and Satan is the greatest, most powerful person, living being in creation. In heaven and in earth. Nothing is more powerful than him other than the risen Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Because if you're a member of his church, the body of Christ, we have overcome the evil one, according to 1 John chapter 2. I write you, young man, that you're strong, and you have overcome the evil one. You've overcome the devil. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? We've overcome the world system. We've overcome the devil. We've overcome our flesh. If we yield to the power of the Spirit of God within us, we're more than victors. We're overcomers. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Ephesians chapter, or Romans chapter 8, verse 37, 38. We're winners because we're in Christ. And it's only us that have the power to set back Satan and his demons on those principles, which is the subject of another message, because the dear people at this conference were all thinking that we have the power within ourselves, even the dear Kathy O'Brien, we have the power within ourselves with the power of love. No, we don't. We don't have the power to overcome this world system of Satan and his papacy overseen by the Jesuit order. We don't have any power to overcome that unless we're walking in the Spirit of God, using the Word of God and resisting it biblically and in prayer and actively, as was done that broke the Pope's Dark Ages. It's not the Middle Ages, it's the Dark Ages, when the papacy ruled the world with an iron fist and had its Inquisition everywhere. And the only people that overcame it were those that preached the Word of God and got the Bible in the hands of the common man, like William Tyndale and the great and godly Martin Luther, who never wrote on the Jews and their lies. I can prove it. I have a course for $500. You send me $500, I'll send you the book, and you can see for yourself. I evaluate everything that's written on the Jews and their lies and show you at least 10 or 15 things Luther would never have written or could never have written. It's another forgery attributed to certain individuals as the donation of Constantine and other things like that. A forgery attributed to Martin Luther, he never wrote it, to bias the Jews against Luther and Lutheranism, and Lutheranism produced Prussia, and Prussia became a haven for Jews, and they prospered there. Well, the Jesuits can't have that, so we got to destroy Prussia, and part of destroying Prussia is we got to destroy the Lutheran Church, and part of destroying the Lutheran Church, we got to infest it with Freemasons, and part of further destroying the Lutheran Church, we got to depict Luther as some Jew-hating, Jew-baiting, evil, wicked man. Which they've successfully done because of a lazy bunch of pastors and ministers of the gospel who refuse to dig into history and read exactly what happened. And see, Luther could have never done this. When Luther believed in the restoration of Israel, if you read his the letters, it's about 8 volumes, it's in his first volume, that Israel would be restored. Yeah. Luther, who hated the Jews, said they're gonna be, Israel's going to be restored. Read it. It's an 8-volume set by the great American historian, Nicholas Linker. First volume. I've covered it many times before on my broadcast. So, we have Michael McGibbon get his encryption system or stick with the evil Google or the other encryption systems that don't work, because all the encryption systems are ultimately controlled by the NSA and the CIA and all the intelligence communities. The Pope's CIA. Remember, the National Security Act of Dirty Harry, 33rd degree Solomon Truman was of 1947, and he knew very good and well that he was imposing papal supremacy in this country through the security agencies that were created, specifically the CIA and NSA. In his National Security Act. Truman was an evil, wicked man. And so, that's pretty much the end of Michael McGibbon. He wore a great big cowboy hat, which I thought looked pretty good on him. Usually men do that because they're bald. He never took it off, so I never could see, but that's generally the issue. So, after Michael McGibbon spoke, there were a couple others, and then came Dr. Brian Artis. So yes, after Michael McGibbon, McKibben, spoke, then was Dr. Brian Artis, and I came to see him specifically, along with Kathy O'Brien. Well, Dr. Artis is his usual brilliant self. I mean, the guy's brilliant. He talks a little too fast, something that I used to do when I would publicly speak, and I'll do so if I get a little excited. So you have to keep, when you're publicly speaking, you have to presume your audience doesn't know anything, and so you have to go slow and calculatingly. And what he came up with, what he told and said, were some very interesting things. I'm going to go back a little bit to Michael McGibbon and some of the high points that I jotted down during his presentation that were incorrect. So, he talks about Revelation 2, at Revelation 3, about Christ spoke of the synagogue of Satan, stating that these were false Jews having descended from Solomon, and hence they're not really racial Hebrew Israelites. They don't like to use the term Jew. By the way, I think I'll just put this passage of scripture in here. Again, I want to point out the fact that every Hebrew is a Jew. Now, I realize the term Jew springs from the tribe of Judah and hence was used of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, but it extends to all the 12 tribes. So, I read to you in Jeremiah 34. Verse 8 and verse 9. This is, pardon me, concerning Zedekiah, and that he's going to release all the servants. And we see in verse 8, this is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. Verse 9, and that every man should let his manservant, and every man his maidservant, being a Hebrew or an Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Do you see here how the term Hebrew and Hebrewess is the same as Jew? Hebrews are Jews. In this context, the Apostle Paul was, let's go to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was an Israelite of the tribe of Judah. He was a Hebrew, but he was also a Jew too. In John chapter 4, verse 22, thereabouts, he says to the Samaritan, the half-Jew, he says, we know whom we worship. We Jews know whom we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. He didn't say of the Israelites, of the Hebrews, because it's the same thing. Jesus Christ acknowledged himself as a Jew. He was sought out by the Magi, by the wise men out of the east with their huge caravan that landed in Jerusalem. And all the people of Jerusalem were moved as they asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. And if they've come to worship him, that means he's God. As he is crucified, Pilate writes on it, this is Jesus of Nazareth. What's his crime? King of the Jews. And he writes it in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Hebrew, the language of the Hebrew people. Latin, the language of the Roman Empire, hence today the language of the Papal Roman Empire. And Greek, the language, the cultural language of the entire Roman Empire into Greece. Because you remember, Rome conquered Greece, but Greece's culture conquered Rome. Hence, Greek became the language spoken throughout the empire, and it was the most definitive language ever written. That white language of Greek, the most definitive language ever written, with a five-case system for nouns and a tense voice and mood for every verb. I mean, it's highly, highly descriptive. Every noun is either neuter, feminine, or masculine. It's a great, wonderful language that's completely descriptive of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God chose that this record of his son should not be in Hebrew, but it should be in Greek. That's a historical fact. Anyway, it tells you, contrary to that, the New Testament was written in Hebrew is a liar. It was translated from Greek to Hebrew, but it was never originally inspired and given to the disciples in Hebrew. None of them, including Matthew, being the first gospel. So, remember, the Jews are in diaspora because of the Babylonian captivity, and many of them are still dispersed, and that's why there were many Jews of many nations in Acts chapter 2 at the Feast of Pentecost. They were still in a genuine diaspora. And then in 70, it's going to be the land is Persia. I mean, they're all going into the nations for the most part. So, we have a Hebrew is a Jew. In Jeremiah 34, verse 9. You Jew bashers need to read that. The Apostle Paul, we know in Philippians chapter 3, he's a Hebrew. He's an Israelite. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. But in the book of Acts, we read in Acts 22 thereabouts, when he's going to speak to his racial brethren, he says, I'm a Jew of Tarsus. He was a Jew, he was a Hebrew, he was an Israelite, he was the tribe of Judah. The Apostle Paul was a Jew. The question is, well, why wasn't the book of Hebrews, the last epistle of the Apostle Paul, why wasn't it says the epistle to the Jews? Because the proselytes have no Abrahamic covenant for them. The land was not given to these Gentiles, even though they would join with the nation of Israel. still not their land. The land was given to a physical racial descendancy of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through the 12 sons. They are Hebrews by race. There's no such thing as a religious Hebrew. They're Hebrews by race. There's no such thing as a religious Israelite. They're Israelites by nationality. But there is such a thing as a Jew by religion who's not a Jew by race. So, the Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew, a Hebrew, an Israelite. The Apostle Paul was a Jew, a Hebrew, an Israelite. The tribe of Benjamin is a Jew. The Peter of the tribe of Simeon, he's a Jew. The Apostle Paul says, in you being a Jew, in Galatians chapter what, 4, 3 or 4, when he starts to rebuke him for separating from the Gentile believers in Galatia, Simon Peter of the tribe of Simeon was a Jew. So don't say that just Jews of Judah are Jews. That's lies. All Jews are Hebrew. All Hebrews are Jews. Not all Jews are Hebrews. And all the disciples of the different tribes that there were all Jews. They were all Hebrews, all Jews, all Israelites. So, the Jews run nothing. But because they're the greatest, they're the people that aspire to money and to power, they join the papacy. Many Jews are educated by the Jesuits in their universities. What for? Because these Jews want places of power and wealth, serving the papacy. And so they then are joining the B'nai B'rith, Masonic Secret Society, and other secret societies, Scottish Rite and others. They're openly seen as Jews, but they're never evaluated as to where they got their education, what secret societies they're members of, because that would take you right back to Rome. Benjamin Disraeli, the prime minister of Queen Victoria, was a Jew, and he was able to become a prime minister because he converted to the Anglican Church. But he was still a pope-serving court Jew in the things that he did. He was friends with Alfred Milner and Cecil Rhodes. And Cecil Rhodes is also mentioned by Michael McKibben in his presentation, but never a word said about Cecil Rhodes being the founder of the Round Table Group, and he modeled the Round Table after the Jesuit order, and Cecil Rhodes considered himself to be the Jesuit general of the Round Table. I'll document it all in my book. They got to keep the Jesuit connection out of the men that they're exposing, and that's what the Patriot Movement generally does. That's Alex Jones, and all the rest of them, for the most part. If you start hammering in on the Jesuits and they rule it all, you're Mr. Persona non grata. And if you start to expose the Jesuit design of race mixing and miscegenating the white Protestants of North America under the guise of the Civil Rights Movement, that's easily to prove that Martin Luther King was overseen by Jesuits and black Freemasons like A. Philip Randolph, not for the benefit of the blacks, but for the destruction of the whites of North America, particularly the white Protestants. If you start saying that, why, you're a racist and a bigot. Even though I have many black students that respect me and love me and contact me and know that's all lies. And yet, no, these ignorant white people want to believe that. So, I'm not invited anywhere. We don't want Phelps here. He's a racist and a bigot. Okay, that's right. Because I'm going to tell you the truth about what the Jesuits have done with the races in this country. And bringing in the Hispanic Roman Catholics in here to further Catholicize America, as R.W. Thompson warned in his great work of, what, 1876, The Papacy and the Civil Power. He wrote two great works, The Footprints of the Jesuits and The Papacy and the Civil Power, by Robert or R.W. Thompson. Richard W. Thompson was the Secretary of the Navy for a while. But have no fear. I'm going to continue to expose it. And you can call me racist, prejudiced, and bigot till the cows come home. But it has nothing to do with hate. I'm a racialist. I believe that you are their races have certain strengths and certain weaknesses. And the sexes have certain strengths and certain weaknesses. It's ingrained. It's programmed into the DNA. It's never changing. Because it's from God. And so, McKibben will not tell the Jesuit connection to Cecil Rhodes or the Round Table Group. And even what's this guy who wrote Committee of 300, Coleman? He does connect the Jesuits to the Committee of 300, but he doesn't hammer on them as the real controllers, as he should. So going on, McKibben also mentioned the Pilgrim Society. Well, the Pilgrim Society are primarily nothing but a bunch of Knights of Malta busy controlling finance and politics and the military and you name it for the benefit of the papacy. They run the British Empire, they run America on behalf of the papacy, or at least they control all the credit. The Knights of Malta and their Pilgrim Society run the Federal Reserve Bank, and they control all the issued credit off the legal title to every person, place, or thing seized by Franklin Delano Roosevelt March 6, 1933, approved and confirmed by Congress on March 9, 1933 with the Emergency Banking Relief Act, and then FDR finishes it off and continues Proclamation 2039 after all the proclamations from the 4th up to now have been approved and confirmed by Congress, and hence the seizure has been approved by Congress. And if you're a U.S. citizen, you're property of the commander-in-chief, boy. Just do what you're told, boy. Continue to watch the TV, boy, and be programmed by the TV, and continue to have your favorite football team, and be entertained to the point of where you have no conscious reality of what is happening around you. Just continue to root for your favorite team, and go see your favorite movie, and eat your favorite poison McDonald's food, and just could be a good slave. Be a good U.S. citizen. Be a good Roman Catholic. All you Protestants and Baptists, having apostatized with your church 501c3, the Lord rebuke you. No wonder he's given us over to this with Trump and Biden working together. They work together. They're bosom buddies. When I talked to Kathy O'Brien, when I went to up front and talk with her, I said, Biden and Trump work together. I'm sure you would know that. There's a uniparty in this country. It's not the Democratic versus Republicans. It's all the Pope's uniparty. There's the one socialist communist party in this country, except the Democrats are more socialist communists than the Republicans are, but they're all working for the same Pope of Rome. You name one congressman, one senator that denounces the temporal power of the Pope and the Jesuits in Congress, in the House, or in the Senate. There isn't one. I just watched a special on Shirley Chisholm that came out on Netflix, and they tried to portray her as some wonderful, moral, upright Christian lady. Shirley Chisholm was an ungodly woman. She was not a saved woman. She enjoyed her adulteries. And I will read to you a particular portion of a book that will prove it. The title of the book, When the Bullet Hits the Bone, by Anthony S. Luciano Ramondi. The picture of him on the cover of this book is in smoke. He looks like a demon-possessed mafioso killer, which I'm sure that he is. But he came down with cancer, and he decided to write this book, and one of the things he's put in it was that he poisoned Pope John Paul I. And he's a member of the Colombo family, one of their assassins. He was 60 years old or something. He'd been diagnosed with cancer, and he wanted to tell the truth and might give him some brownie points at St. Peter's. Essentially what he said. I want you to hear what he writes of this Shirley Chisholm. Shirley Chisholm. Concerning Shirley Chisholm, who is portrayed to be some sort of saint in the most recent movie released, again I read to you from the book When the Bullet Hits the Bone by Anthony S. Luciano Ramondi. It was published, as told to Lisa Pulitzer. When the Bullet Hits the Bone, the incredible and possibly true stories of the last mafia enforcer. And this book is written 2019 by Page Publishing, Inc., New York, New York. We read on page 82. Charles came to the club the next day and took the $25,000, but started arguing with Dominique that he wanted more money, or he was going to get his aunt, Shirley Chisholm. So, Charles is black. His aunt is Shirley Chisholm, a congresswoman from New York, the first black congresswoman ever. I got up, Dominic grabbed my left hand, and I pushed his hand off me as if to say, don't worry about it. Charles was getting up, I pushed him back down in his chair, and I leaned over and told him in the ear, quote, remember what I told you last night, how I will put 9 inches of steel in your effing head? He turned white as a ghost. He looked at me, and he didn't say a word. He just left. Shirley got wind of it, and she came down to the club looking for Dominique and the rest of them. She was steaming mad, so I took her aside. Dominique and the other guys were counting on me to make things right, so I ended up negotiating with her and telling her we'd give her 15% of everything. Quote, you're the craziest white boy I've met, unquote, she told me. I told her to take the night to think about it. When she came back the next day, she said she'd take the deal, but I was told she might be wearing a wire. When I confronted her, she stripped down naked in the office where we were talking to prove me wrong. To my surprise, she had a body to stop an effing truck. She had some figure, but she always wore baggy clothes, so people took her seriously. The two of us ended up in a steamy affair that lasted about 5 years. So this is the virtuous, wonderful, godly Shirley Chisholm fornicating her brains out with a mafia assassin of the Colombo family who poisoned the Pope. So much for the truth being told on Netflix. But I will tell you this about her. She was a serious enemy against the Jesuit Order's Council on Foreign Relations. And that's why she lost all of her delegates, all of her black delegates, and they all, like good little boys and girls, good little Tobies, went to support George McGovern. McGovern would lose, what, to Nixon. She never knew what hit her. Maybe one day, people that followed Shirley Chisholm will know that the Jesuit order controls the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and there will never be any grassroots movement to have a true political party that will promote true independence, American independence, because there is no Bible involved. You take out the Bible and salvation by grace through faith, there can be no political liberty. No freedom of conscience, no freedom of press. That's the witness of history of the last 500 years. So going back to now this presentation of Saturday, McGivern talks about the three most powerful organizations in the country, State Street, Vanguard Group, and BlackRock. They're all run by pilgrims, all run by the Knights of Malta, with certain Jews helping. So, until you want to deal with the papacy and the power of the Roman papacy, gentlemen, well, ladies and gentlemen, your eyes wide shut is getting nowhere. The next coming up was Dr. Artis. Artis was very good. He talked about all the new things he's discovered. He has a remedy for the Jesuit jab. Remdesivir, run as fast as you can. And he had some very good high points. He's told us that EDTA would help to detox those who had the jab. Pardon me. Also recommended vitamin C, glutathione also. He also recommended not taking magnesium. Recommended to have zinc, EDTA and zinc primarily, ivermectin. Talk about the Flexner Report. He was a Jew working for the Pope. That was the father, really, of the American Medical Association, philosophically. Another wicked man. And but here's my disappointment with Dr. Artis. Dr. Artis went on the YouTube many times and exposed the Jesuits as behind the COVID scam and also their Remdesivir injection, the most deadly injection they could find. He did not mention the Jesuits at the conference on Saturday, to my great disappointment. So I went up, gave him a copy, an e-book, a copy of my Vatican Assassins. He says, oh, the Jesuits. I said, that's right. I'm Eric John Phillips, and I want to give this to you, Dr. Artis. I think you're doing a great job exposing the Jesuits, showing they're behind it. But this is after he had spoken with no word of the Jesuits, his attractive wife sitting next to him. So I was a little disappointed, but I gave him a copy of my e-book for Vatican Assassins. The last lady I want to talk to you about, last one I want to talk to you about, is Kathy O'Brien. Kathy O'Brien was the best. She was absolutely the best. So concerning Kathy O'Brien, she was the only speaker who talked about the Jesuit order openly. And in her book, Transformation of America, that she had for sale back there, on page 176, she wrote, talked about the Order of the Rose, and then we read, quote, end quote, you know, Madeleine Albright, unquote, Bush began, expertly using terminology from previously instilled Catholic Jesuit beliefs, he continued. She's the Reverend Mother of all sisters, that's slaves. Now this, Madeleine Albright's a Jew. So here she is working for the papacy. This is another Jew working for the Pope. She's the Reverend Mother of all the sisters, slaves. She's so close to God that an order from her is an order from him. Unquote. Albright snickered, apparently impressed with Bush's witty manipulation of program verbiage. She rose in the UN through me to implement the New World Peace process. And of course, the New World Order begins on March 9, 1933, with FDR's proclamation, 2040, Emergency Banking Relief Act, and then the putting of the symbol for the New World Order, Novus Ordo Seclorum, on the $1 bill 2 days later, 2 years later, 1935. So the New World Order, the center for the New World Order, is District of Columbia. And through that, the Jesuits create international communism and wage war around the world for the benefit of the Pope. Within the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment, socialist communist, corporate fascist American empire. We go down, page 176. Reagan was dressed in dark navy blue suit and red silk tie. His red rosebud boutonniere instantly triggered me into a Jesuit Order of the Rose sex slave mode. Well, hello, kitten, Reagan said, blowing his cognac breath in my face as he bent over to kiss my hand. Uncle Ronnie, I said, sexually responding as conditioned. So, she talks of the Jesuit, Catholic Jesuits' brief beliefs. She talks of the Jesuit Order of the Rose. She mentioned it, the Jesuits, in another place. She also mentions the Jesuits in Access Denied, which is another book she's written. And in this book, she states, in Access Denied, on page 230, she says, it will be, quote-unquote, Mark firmly stated. Gordon Thomas and Sinéad O'Connor are among a growing number of people speaking out. Even Aquino, now this is this wicked, evil Colonel Aquino, who is the founder of the Temple of Set, is proving to be a significant downfall to the Catholic Church rather than a recruiter for the Jesuits, CIA, and DIA, that's Defense Intelligence Agency, as intended. So Kathy O'Brien names the Jesuits right along with the CIA, the DIA, and other intelligence communities. Kathy O'Brien properly fingered the Jesuits in all of this because, of course, they're the masters of it. And Kathy O'Brien was the only one at the conference that exposed the Jesuits. So that's what happened on Saturday. I trust you enjoyed that update. And I'm now going to preach a message to all the attendees of the conference that will give them power to truly resist this if they are intending to resist this. So, for the Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio, March 25th, 2024, on Monday, I'll be back with another broadcast to get the power of the Holy Spirit to resist this satanic Jesuit New World Order. Back in a moment. Lord bless.